In August, the New York Times ran this headline: a new way to reduce children's deaths. Cash. Simply giving money to poor families at certain times reduced death among young children by nearly half, a new study found. These show-stopping numbers come from a randomized study of GiveDirectly's own program in Kenya, which gave families $1,000 each. In this episode of No Strings Attached, we'll break down these research results and how it's reshaping our work. We'll also answer some of the hard questions and feedback we've gotten from donors along the way. I'm joined by our head of research, Caitlin Tulloch, and our head of human-centered design, Caroline Tetti. Caroline, I'd like to start with you. Cutting infant mortality in half is pretty mind-blowing. I think many people don't understand the obstacles that are facing pregnant women in rural Kenya that this cash helps them overcome. So could you paint a picture of what it's like to be a new or expectant mom in these settings?
Thank you so much, Tyler. It's truly honoring to be a part of this project. Being able to see the journey of women, you know, reflecting my own personal journey growing up. Just today, I've just come from the field and spoken to a woman who is carrying twins. And in her own words, she says she has been really scared about being pregnant. In her first month, she was sick and had to get medical care. And the thought of how she's going to take care of two children alone scares her. This is not just one story. This is the normal thing that happens to women in this part of the world, because pregnancy comes with a lot of complications, a lot of uncertainties, and more so constraints of resources to run through the period of pregnancy and the uncertainties of getting a safe delivery.
And yeah, a lot of those obstacles, it looks like, could be overcome with cash in hand, is what the study seemed to show us. Caitlin, could you help walk us through this study and what makes it such a big deal?
Absolutely. Studies like this are rare, in part because child mortality, while it's still much too high, is a relatively rare event in statistical terms. And that means that it's hard to identify things that, when you're looking at a population level, actually reduce child mortality, infant mortality. In this case, the stars sort of align because GiveDirectly was already running with our academic partners an enormous study of household level cash transfers in Western Kenya, you know, reaching thousands and thousands of households with really high quality follow up. And so when the researchers came back a number of years later and they decided, thank goodness, to do this kind of follow up where you ask people about the number of births and then subsequently the deaths that have happened in the household, they were able to observe this enormous drop in infant mortality, this 48% reduction. Because this was such a high-quality study, we also know a little bit about why we think that happened and how you got to 48% reduction. Firstly, new moms simply ate and rested more when they had more resources. And that's very consistent with the prior research on this kind of social protection cash transfer program, where it gives people a little bit of extra cash to buy more food, to not have to do hard labor. But in this case, we can remember this was a really large lump sum cash transfer, and it was given totally unconditionally. So in that case, we think it's the timing and also the proximity to clinics that mattered a lot. Because in this case, what we saw is actually that women were able to deliver at clinics with much, much greater regularity when they received transfers. And that was especially true if this transfer was given right in proximity to their delivery.
Great. That's really interesting. I wanted to ask you kind of another interesting thing about the result. It's very idiosyncratic in certain ways. From the study, it seems that both proximity to the clinic is very important, and also cash being received during pregnancy just before birth was important. Another sharp trend line here is that the effects seem to go away once the cash transfers end. We don't see that reduced child mortality in the community in the long term, only during that short term period where the cash is flowing out. Could you help explain what's going on there?
Absolutely, yeah. So this is a really interesting question, and I'd say we have some strong hypotheses about what's driving this, but they're the subject also for future research where we can understand more. As Tetti said, there's a really vulnerable period right around giving birth. It's throughout the pregnancy, but in particular, birth is associated with a ton of acute risks for both mothers and their infants they're trying to bring into this world. And they have the greatest kind of propensity to spend. This is an economic term, meaning they're most likely to go out and buy the things they need immediately after they receive cash. So when they get that cash right at this moment of really intense risk, it's not only that they're able to, you know, buy food and slowly incrementally increase their nutritional status, but that this helps them deal with potentially catastrophic risks of that immediate birth period. So imagine, for instance, that you're pregnant, you start to feel something going really, really wrong, but a clinic is a good mile away from your house. You would need to pay for transportation. Even once you get there, you may need to pay for services or at the very least need to pay for pharmaceuticals. That's a lot of liquidity that's required all at once. And we think that the fact that cash gives you a large amount of money right at this critical moment, explains these results specifically when cash was given at the moment of birth and not persisting for a long period thereafter.
Okay, that makes a lot of sense. Caroline, you've met a lot of pregnant women who are receiving cash now as part of a new pilot we're running. We're going to get to that pilot in a second, but I want to hear from you that what are you seeing on the ground for women who are getting cash right now?
So every woman, those who are receiving cash and those who do not receive cash, have the same challenges, the things that Kathleen just talked about. You know, I've been able to speak to three women so far. The first one talked about anemia. Another one talked about being underweight, you know, when she visited her ANC doctor. And another one complained about being weak and having headaches, which was diagnosed as being associated with nutrition. So that's a fundamental risk for mothers and for the fetuses that they are carrying. Women have a lot of investment in the outcomes of their pregnancies. Even as they think about their health, they're very conscious about how that translates into the health of their babies. And that becomes a constant worry for them.
Thanks for that. You also mentioned some of these women have received cash. How are they spending the cash that they've received from GiveDirectly and the folks you've met over the last few weeks?
The one thing about GiveDirectly's cash is that there are no strings attached. So as much as we are messaging to these women and letting them know that we are giving them money because pregnancy comes with its own challenges and that we hope that it can transform their lives during pregnancy and after, we see a lot of independent decisions being taken by these women. Currently, we are seeing them investing in health insurance that is offered by the government. The woman I've just been talking about who is carrying twins has actually put in a whole year of insurance cover for herself, which means she feels ready to deliver in a health facility without the hassle of having to think about the money. We have also seen a woman who invested part of her transfers in healthcare for her husband, who broke his arm and is now stuck in a hospital. She sees how important it is to take care of her husband so that he can come back home. So that the time she is ready to go for delivery, there's someone to take care of two of their children. So the spending is quite diverse and the independence of thinking, the collaboration between these women and their husbands is quite real.
Great. And I think that really gets it, the no strings attached part of this all, which is that people are able to make these choices that might have positive impacts on their pregnancy and birth, but I'll take very different shapes when you actually step back and look at them. So let's circle back to the pilots themselves. What's really interesting about this study is that GiveDirectly wasn't giving cash to pregnant families. We were giving cash to about 10,000 households across an entire community, some of which had pregnant people in those families at the time. These results show us that giving cash to pregnant women can be very powerful. And so we've adapted and made a new pilot based on that. Caroline, could you tell us, how does this pilot work? How are we building off of those learnings?
Yeah, like you've said, our original project was never designed to send money to pregnant women. But now that we have the evidence, we are working very closely with the government of Kenya, the Ministry of Health to be specific. We are also working with a local partner who has been working very closely in their communities. These partnerships are very important for us because we want to link the program to government policy, strategies, and priorities. So apart from receiving the money, government has structures for monitoring different indicators and outcomes of their families, whether that is pregnancy outcomes, water sanitation, nutrition outcomes. So it helps linking our program to the mainstream government programming. The other thing that we do is we want to be quite consistent with the timing of delivering cash. We are enrolling women who are 1 day to 20 weeks pregnant. And that means that by the time that they are enrolled, we can make them ready to receive transfers at just about the time they're delivering. The women are divided into two groups. So we have women who are receiving the lump sum transfer of $1,000 in two tranches at week 20 and week 32. We have another cohort of women who are receiving monthly transfers for the first 4 months. And then on their eighth month, they receive a small lump sum that gets them into delivery. And after that, we give them another 6 months after delivery so they can be able to walk through the afterbirth experience with their babies.
Caroline, I just want to ask, off of those two cohorts that you mentioned, I just want to switch over to Caitlin here. Caitlin, what's the goal of having these? What are you trying to learn from this pilot with these two different groups and in general? How will we know if it worked or not?
Well, this is not going to be an RCT. We're not here to measure the kind of causal effect sizes. But as I mentioned earlier, we have a lot of questions about the mechanisms. So we want to understand those pathways better. So we're looking at things like whether moms feel less stress and greater autonomy during their pregnancy because of having this cash, what they choose to spend their transfers on. Teti, I think that story about spending on a husband who had broken his arm is such a wonderful example of something that doesn't look like a maternal and child investment, but it's certainly going to have maternal and child outcomes for the woman who is choosing to spend the transfer in that way. We learn about things that we would have never thought of simply because of the flexibility of cash, and that helps us understand how to design the program and simply understand more about the situation that these women are facing. And the goal of that is to help us refine the design of a program that's going to be really optimized, and maybe later we'll come back and do a full impact evaluation.
Speaking of the design, a common question we get actually from a lot of directly supporters about this new pilot is a concern that if we're offering cash publicly to pregnant women, it will incentivize pregnancy or even could create risk for families pressuring women into becoming pregnant so that they can receive this cash. And I wanted to ask you, Caroline, since you lead our human-centered design and also used to oversee our safeguarding work, how much risk is there of a program like this creating risk or dangerous incentives? What's the evidence say?
So this is natural instinct, Tyler, if you might think about it, that in a community where people are deprived of resources, the entry of a cash transfer program of this value can incentivize people to want to get pregnant. Being aware of that risk has meant also doing messaging at different levels when we are interacting with these women to let them know the nature of this program and continue to emphasize government messaging around family planning and the fact that this is a one-time support coming from an NGO, which may not continue. So the incentives to get pregnant may not be positive for the women, and that the fact that we are giving this money one time doesn't promise the upbringing of a child. So we are bringing the realities of their lives into the program and letting them know that taking care of a child takes a lot of investment, and being ready to take care of yourself is more rewarding than being reactive in chasing money that you cannot plan for in terms of how it helps you to get the child to adulthood. So that's a really important message.
No, that's great. That it's part of the messaging. And Caitlin, what does the evidence say from other cash programs for moms across the world?
In general, I'd say there's very little evidence of an increase in fertility, is what an economist would call it, in response to the availability of this kind of program. I think I'm aware of one study that suggests people might change the timing of their births, but not the overall amount. But overall, this is a question we get with huge regularity, and it's just not showing up in the evidence and the studies in proportion to the amount that people are concerned about it. We're continuing to monitor this. We understand how serious this would be and want to make sure that it's not happening, thanks to all of the kinds of work Tetti's describing. But we view this as kind of monitoring a low probability risk to make sure it's not happening and not something that's hugely likely to happen based on prior research.
Great. Another question is around this effect size that I know we get often from donors. There's a set of our donors who are especially interested in how they can give money to the most life-saving interventions. Here we see that cash has been proven to save the lives of infants, but we also know that things like vaccines and malaria nets and vitamin boosts can have a lot of the same impacts. Caitlin, how do you think about the cost effectiveness of our cash transfer programs against some of these other very life-saving interventions? How should we think about that 48% drop number, and how should we think about that $1,000 per family number?
Well, I love that you've asked me that question about the two parts of the cost-effectiveness ratio, because I think that's really the right way to take this. There are very few interventions that move mortality this much in absolute terms, and that's just a simple fact. It's a depressing fact that there's that much mortality yet to be averted, but it's a heck of an effect size. But the cost is high and is significantly higher than many other programs that are specifically and uniquely targeting maternal mortality or infant mortality. And one big reason for that is that the cash in this program was not targeted at all. The denominator of costs includes men, it includes non-pregnant recipients, and that drives the overall cost per life saved significantly higher. That's part of the rationale for these pilots that we're doing and this kind of branch of program design that we're exploring, seeing if we can replicate that same effect size, but at lower overall cost by being more targeted specifically to pregnant women with this very specific timing and potentially a slightly lower transfer size that is optimized for mortality effects rather than the broader economic effects that GD is typically targeting. You asked about this kind of how does this compare? And so I think in broad terms, as of now, the result from Kenya, this is not as cost effective as those other things because of that huge cost denominator that I mentioned. But I think the bigger point here is that we don't want to argue that cash is like a pure substitute and what somebody should stop, you know, what they should do is stop putting money into vaccines and go and put all of their money into cash transfers. That would be kind of a silly conclusion, because the way that the Kenya program worked was by helping people access health services. And so, again, in kind of econ speak, this means that these are complements, cash and health services, not substitutes. The thing that I feel like I've learned from that study is that you might have presumed that, okay, in fact, you know, cash is not a health intervention. It's not going to move these health metrics that are the target of so much deserved focus from the maternal and neonatal health communities. But actually what we're seeing is that even in the presence of well-staffed clinics that are not too far away from women, access remains a barrier. And so I think the interesting question is not like, should we do A or B? It's under what conditions is the addition of cash actually amplifying the effects of these health interventions, which are how the cash is working. But they're clearly not solving everything if this access barrier remains. So I think we've got a lot to learn about that. We'll do a pure cost effectiveness measure. We'll share that with the world as we get better information on that. But to me, the most interesting part is the why, where there's complementarity happening and what that means about where this is relatively more cost-effective at helping people navigate this really difficult period and ensure healthy birth outcomes.
As we think about optimizing for these sorts of outcomes, one question comes to mind is this still no strings attached? We are giving cash to people to specifically try to change the health and outcome of their pregnancy, only give them to people during certain periods. Is this still unconditional? Is this still give directly model? Or have we drifted towards something that's not as unrestricted or is not no strings attached?
I think give directly's perspective on unconditionality is on spending decisions. And we have programs that have targeted cohorts of populations similar to this one, where we have given people cash and given them the freedom and the choice to choose what to spend it on. In this one, we are choosing pregnant women, but we are nesting a very strong message to them and letting them know that this cash is given to you unconditionally. There is no string attached, and the decision for how you use it depends on how you prioritize things in your house. If your pregnancy has deficiencies that cash can meet, feel free to do that. This money is supposed to meet your need where it is required the most.
I think this is such an important point, Teti, about the targeting. And I think that kind of builds on what we were saying above about a program that at its essence is still delivering cash and delivering it unconditionally, but that is optimized for a slightly different outcome, both in the transfer size and in that targeting. Where that's taking us is a recognition that the large lump sum program that we typically deliver achieves a huge number of outcomes. We're on this path because we saw that result from the Kenya study that was not in any way targeted towards pregnant women. But if we kind of pull on that thread, I think we're going to arrive at a world where we've got some differentiated programming that is focusing a little bit more on achieving certain outcomes for certain populations. Not by adding conditionality, not by adding restrictions on what people spend, but through these much, much lighter touch ways of targeting and timing. And so I think that gives us a chance to, in particular, speak to different donor audiences. This opens up a whole lot, you know, kind of branch where we can show people who consider themselves maternal neonatal health specialists. They would never have thought about kind of unconditional lump sum cash before. This helps us show, look, this is tailored, this is relevant to these outcomes, while still staying very true to the core principles that GD focuses on.
Yeah, that's really interesting. And I think as we zoom back in on just this particular pilot for moms and babies, wondering, Caroline and Caitlin, you're both moms. What is your hope around this program? What do you hope comes out of this work? Starting with you, Caitlin.
Oh, this is such a good question. When I was pregnant and when I gave birth, I think I saw the possibility of getting super duper anxious, almost as Teti is describing, that kind of women in Kenya routinely face. And I thought to myself, maybe just as a coping mechanism, like, I know the literature on what drives birth outcomes. I live in a very, you know, wealthy part of the United States. I have clean water. I have high nutritional status. I have access to the foods I want, and I'm going to deliver safely. I've controlled for 99% of the variation in birth outcomes simply by where I live. And that was such a position of privilege to be able to say that. And I kind of calmed myself down by saying, look, beyond this, I can't control it. But because of this, I have the best shot possible. And I would wish that for everyone. that everyone could think to themselves, like, I have the resources at my disposal to meet whatever challenges come. I can find clean water, I can find healthy food, and I don't have to have this additional worry.
For me, I think coming out of these communities, having been a part of, you know, growing up and seeing women living with pregnancy, I'm so excited about this project that has been nested within a government program that is now increasing the number of ANC visits to health facilities. This is something that has been unreachable for many women. This program has nested opportunities that gives them certainties early in their pregnancies to have confidence that they are carrying healthy babies, to know that they're having twins, to know that the baby is not breech. And that confirmation alone is a source of calmness for a mother who is in this part of the world. The second thing I'm hoping is that this program is going to be a story in these communities, in the power of women having choice and women having confidence as they go through pregnancy, that this world where women have been made to look like receptacles and vessels for carrying babies can now be transformed into a world where women can be active participants about their lives, decision makers about the outcomes of their health, and can be able to be participants in the articulation of what healthy pregnancy should look like. I am hoping that we will come back and we can be able to hear from the government of Kenya in this part of the world where we are doing this program, that they have seen indicators that they have never seen before because of this addition.
Thank you. Both beautiful answers. I want to thank you both for taking the time to talk to us about this research and this pilot. Folks can read the full study at givedirectly.org/mortality2025. See a breakdown of the research and also more on the pilot. No Strings Attached is hosted by me, Tyler G. Hall, and produced by Mary Blair. You can learn more at givedirectly.org.